Hey, I'm Steph.
I'm Alex.
And this is Not Today.
And we're live.
Hi.
How are you?
Fantastic. How are you?
I am lovely and excited for this week once again.
Me
I had
too.
Some influence on what it would be.
Yeah, I did give you the choice this week of two stories. I was like, would you rather hear about this or this old couple that gets stranded on a mountain? And you were like, definitely the mountain. And
I said, mountain couple.
Okay. Mountain couple it is.
Yeah, I want to know. I thought there might be some kind of earthy, crunchy vibes, off the grid vibes. I don't know. Just seemed interesting.
Not really, but they are getting stuck out in the wilderness, so they're outdoorsy.
Yeah. Do you ever, like, seriously believe that you would ever be in one of these situations?
I do think that certain situations like this one could happen,
yeah,
to me or, like, to, you know, you. It's not like they're setting out to run, like, a marathon through the wilderness and they fall down a cliff because they're, like, an extreme marathoner. It's like they just went on a drive and something
Oh, really?
Went wrong. Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
Yeah. So, like, stories like this, yes, for sure.
Okay, so you are taking notes when there's a car involved.
Or just if it's like in the realm of possibility in my life, then I'm like, oh, okay, noted. I will maybe bring extra provisions in my car if I'm going on a hike, you know?
Yeah, I think about that a lot. And then even when we were moving across the country, I was kind of like, well, I mean, we had all of our stuff.
Yeah.
In one car, we probably would have been fine.
Right.
But I was like, do we have like enough food?
Yeah, but like water, you know, and food and stuff. Like people don't always when they get stuck in scenarios. And like if you're driving through the middle of nowhere and your car breaks down and there's nobody around, like you're kind of screwed a little bit. That's how a lot of people get into situations like this. And that's how Tom and Linda Bosworth got into the situation, kind of. One thing went wrong, and then they were just screwed. And I will say, this story was an option on our poll for last month on our Patreon, and they were second place in the poll. So if you want to vote on stories you want to hear, head over to Patreon, because our winner over there and the bonus episode that was posted just this past week was the Happy Face Killer.
Tell me about that.
Yeah, so the Happy Face Killer is a serial killer. Keith Hunter Jesperson murdered at least 8 women over a 5-year span and taunted authorities with disturbing letters and scribbled confessions signed with a happy face. So that's his MO, and our survivor in that story is Dawn Slagle, who was attacked by Keith Hunter Jesperson. So that story is live over on Patreon. If you'd like to hear it, head over there. We got a lot of really interesting stories over there as well. This is bonus episode number 26. So you got a bunch of episodes if you're wanting them. But anyway, I've rambled enough.
Well, you could do a little more rambling because I have a question.
Okay, what's your question?
What if I found myself in a situation where my head did not have a hat on it and the hat did not say not today?
Oh, interesting. You are wondering about that. You could head to nottodaypodcast.myshopify.com and get yourself a sneaky little piece of merch if you needed that, or say a really cool tote bag that you could match me with because I carry it around literally all the time, or a fun little sweatshirt.
Okay, that's just good to know.
I think so.
Right?
I think that's good information to have.
It's just good to know.
Thank you for asking that question. It's really important stuff we're doing over here. So anyway, why don't we get into this week's story, because it is, say it with me now, crazy.
Crazy.
Yep. Okay, are you ready?
Yes.
Great. Retired couple Tom and Linda Bosworth lived in Silver City, New Mexico in July of 2009. And that day, the two of them were looking forward to going on a drive and having a picnic together.
Cute. Wholesome.
Very cute. Very wholesome. Something we would do. So Tom and Linda had gotten married in the 70s. When they met on a skiing trip in Aspen, Linda was first drawn to Tom because he was really kind and he was not too hard on the eyes. And he seemed really genuine. And Tom noticed how beautiful Linda's smile was, and her personality was just fantastic, in his words. But at the time of this story, the two had been married for 32 years and had gone on many adventures together. Tom spent his life working in the car industry, and in his free time, he enjoyed racing and working on cars. In fact, not long before that day, he had just finished rebuilding a secondhand Jeep that he had acquired. acquired.
When people who work on cars do just kind of acquire cars.
That's true. Yeah, he got the secondhand Jeep, fixed it up, and now he wants to take it out on the town.
Why not?
Right. So he had refurbished the entire thing, and he was very excited about it. He had always loved cars, and it was the first time they would be taking the car out. It was a perfect day for it, too. It was the middle of the summer, and Tom was extra excited because they would be taking the Jeep off-road through the New Mexico backcountry, and Linda would be joining him. Perfect day.
Lovely.
So needless to say, Tom was excited, and he was in the car first, anxiously waiting for Linda to be ready. Linda was looking in the freezer to see if they had any treats they might like for dessert, but they didn't have anything good. She then saw that they had a big jug of water that was frozen in their freezer, and she had a moment where she thought to herself, oh, maybe I should take this. But that's when... Foreshadowing. But that's when she heard the honking from Tom in the Jeep, who was wanting to get on the road. So she decided not to, since they already had water with them. Because they're just going on a picnic.
I know. But, to think back to that moment sucks.
Well, yeah. And she will think back on that moment later and definitely regret it. Linda walked outside and joined Tom in the Jeep, and the two set off for their adventure. Tom and Linda were going off-road on a network of trails in the Burrow Mountains. The Big Burrow Mountains are a moderate length, 35-mile or 56-kilometer long mountain range located in central Grant County, New Mexico, about 15 miles southwest of Silver City, which was where they lived. On their way, they made a quick pit stop for some gas, and while Tom was out of the car filling it up, Linda made a quick call to her sister, Barb. She told her sister what they would be doing that day, and Barb told her that she was crazy. But Linda was excited. She felt like a teenager again. And Linda did tell her sister that they would be going off-road, but she didn't tell her where. It hadn't occurred to Linda that that might be a good idea, so she didn't mention it. So she hung up when Tom got back in the car, and once again the two were off. When they finally made it to the mountains, they were so excited. The views were incredible. The couple loved being outdoors, and Tom couldn't wait to see how his Jeep did on the dirt of Saddle Rock Trail. The two of them were smiling and giggling like kids as the car bumped over the rocks. They were having a lot of fun. And finally, after driving for a while, they stopped for lunch, eating it out of the trunk of their Jeep. It just is such a wholesome day. Like, isn't this so cute to think about?
Yeah, it kind of makes me want to do it.
Well, yeah, like it sounds really fun.
Yeah.
And just so adorable that they're, they've been married for 32 years. It's just like a car that he worked on and is so excited about. He's taking out his wife for like off-roading and a picnic. Like, it's just so cute. It's a lovely summer day.
It doesn't get much better.
Right.
And they're retired.
Yeah. So they're eating the picnic out of the trunk of the car, and there were even a few trees around them, so they had a bit of shade. They took in their isolated surroundings and enjoyed their day. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Are you bursting with energy after being trapped inside all winter, or are you drained because you don't have enough boundaries? It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up now that we're getting into the warmer months. But what's the right amount of socializing for you, and how do you recharge? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Therapy has been a really helpful tool for me to recognize what I need to take care of myself and feel my best. And it's not always the same. Sometimes I need to say no to things and spend time alone, and other times I need to stop rotting and get myself out of my apartment. It's a delicate balance. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/nottoday to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/nottoday. They had already hit a few bumps in the trail, and because the car did so well, and they had been having so much fun, Tom was itching to see how far he could push his rebuilt Jeep. He knew if they went a little further off-road, it would be even bumpier and more fun for them. So he pulled out his map to show Linda and told her where they could go further into the mountain, and it wasn't a perfect map, but Linda was confident in the day, and she encouraged him to keep going, because she knew Tom was having so much fun, and so was she. But Tom had chosen a route that would take them way off the mountain trails and put them further out into even more isolated, rough terrain. And as they started driving, it did get more rough, quickly. Not long into their drive, the trees had begun hitting them, like the area they had driven through was so untamed that the limbs of like trees were whipping into the side of the Jeep. And there were many more rocks in their path, so the entire ride was bumpy. It was kind of like a roller coaster ride. But even though things had gotten more intense, Linda was completely confident in Tom's ability to navigate it. She even said to Tom, "Thank God it's you driving," because she knew she wouldn't have been able to do that. But just after saying that, things took a terrifying turn.
Right after she said it.
Yeah, seriously. They hit a rock that was just a little too big, and the Jeep began to tip over and then roll. Until finally it landed on its side, with the driver's side window on the ground. When they finally came to a stop, Tom immediately asked Linda if she was okay. And Linda was very shaken but unharmed, so she told him that she was okay. Neither of them had been badly hurt, which was very lucky, but they were in a very bad situation. The first thought that crossed Tom's mind was, are they going to catch on fire? Because he was worried a stray spark from the electrical system might ignite some leaking fuel or even trigger an explosion. So once they established they were both okay in the car, Tom told Linda that they needed to get out of there. Linda was badly shaken and tangled in her seatbelt, so she was struggling to get herself loose. So Tom told her he would climb up and out of the passenger side, which was straight up, since, like I said, the car was laying on its side, and then he would pull her up and out. So once Tom had gotten out, Linda told him to get her out of there because she was very anxious to still be in the car and she was having a hard time getting out herself. So Tom grabbed Linda's arm and Linda grabbed onto his arm, and together they were able to get Linda out, and they jumped down from the car and they ran away from it. Like they were in an action movie and the car was about to explode.
I have to imagine it's pretty anticlimactic after they like really scurry to get out of there and they're just kind of watching it.
Oh yeah, they like happens. Scurry away from the car and it doesn't explode. Yeah, I mean, a little bit, but I'm guessing they're glad it didn't explode.
Right.
You know, like if you were watching it in an action movie, it would be anticlimactic. But for them, they're like, whew, you know. But they were extremely worried that it was just going to blow up, so they did want to put some distance between them and the Jeep. But they were miles from any kind of civilization, and that Jeep was their only way out of there. So once they had taken a minute away from the car, and Tom established that it was safe, he decided to go back up to the Jeep to try something. He knew that if they could get the Jeep back on its wheels, they would be able to drive out of there. So he took a cable, and he tied it to a tree, and he hooked the other side to the bumper, and he began to like ratchet the car and try to pull it onto its wheels. And as he tried to pull the ratchet, the Jeep began teetering a little bit, but there wasn't much movement. And he did try this for a while with everything he had in him, because what the hell else were they going to do? It was their best bet at getting out of there, because the alternative was walking, but they were in their late 60s and miles away. After Tom realized his efforts were not going to work out, Linda pulled out her cell phone to try and call for help, but they were in the middle of nowhere in the mountains, so she did not have any signal. Tom asked Linda if she had told her sister where they were going, because he remembered she called her at the gas station, and Linda told him no. She hadn't mentioned where they were going, just that they were going out driving, and Tom hadn't told anyone either. So nobody knew where they were. And since they had opted to go even further off the trail, their chances of seeing any person, like a hiker or anyone, was very small. There was no sign of human life anywhere. All that surrounded them was mountain, some trees, and cactus.
So there's not even really much water.
No. Yeah, they're in the desert. It's New Mexico.
Right.
A lot of sand.
But I thought you said they were in the mountains, like...
Yeah, they are.
They have trees.
Yes, there were trees, but it was very like dry dirt and trees and cactus. So it wasn't like a moist area by any means.
By any beans?
Well, I didn't mean to say that. By any means, you know what I mean. It wasn't wet.
It was not wet. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like how far would they have to walk out?
Like 19 miles.
Damn.
Yeah, something around there. I have it later in my notes, but yeah, it's something like that. And it's summer in New Mexico, remember?
Oh, so it's like 110.
Yeah.
100 degrees.
It gets up to over 100 for sure.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. Not in one day.
No, definitely not in one day. So Linda went back to the Jeep where they had been eating their lunch and pulled out their two water bottles, which they had already been drinking earlier in the day for lunch, so they were almost empty. Linda told Tom that they didn't have enough water, and that was a very shocking statement because in that moment they realized how bad their situation actually was and could get. Linda thought back to that fleeting thought she had when she was standing at the freezer to bring that jug with them, but she hadn't. And now she was really regretting it, and that thought was haunting her and would continue to haunt her. At that time in the day, it was around 90 degrees Fahrenheit or 30 degrees Celsius, and it was getting hotter and they did not have any water. So it was a bad scenario to be in. If they did walk, it would be almost 19 miles, like I said. And also, not just 19 miles, but it would be uphill back to the highway. And in that heat, it would be difficult for any person, even someone young and in amazing shape. But Tom and Linda were in their late 60s. So that's when Tom came up with a plan. Using his rough map, he believed the Gila River should have been somewhere below them. So if they hiked downhill, they should cross that river and then get back to the highway, just at a different point. Before they left their car, Tom retrieved one last item. He had a .357 Magnum pistol in the back of his car that he took with them, along with two bricks of ammunition. He knew there were mountain lions and brown bears out there, so it was just good to have a little extra protection. So once Tom grabbed his pistol, the two of them set off on their hike. But only after an hour, the temperature was getting up to over 100 degrees. It was like walking around in an oven. They were dripping sweat, and that took a lot out of them. That's difficult to do when you have unlimited water, you know? Like, mm-hmm. It's damn near impossible when you have none.
Yeah, I can't tell you how weak I am when it comes to dehydration. Like, if I go, you know, half the day without water and I drink a little bit of coffee, I, like, am ready for bed. Like, yeah. I'm just so tired.
Yeah, when I, like, forget to drink water in the afternoon, when I get into bed at night, I'm like, water.
Yeah.
Atmosphere.
Yeah.
Like SpongeBob. Sorry. No, you know what I mean. You need water. It's a design, a human design flaw, potentially.
Yeah,
design you know? Flaw. Like the fact that you can't go like more than 3 days without water is tough.
Kind of bitch ass.
Yeah, it's a little bitch ass.
Yeah, so I guess my point is I can't imagine how they're about to feel.
Yeah. They still had a little bit of water. Like, thankfully they hadn't drank all of it. But it was like less than half a water bottle for each of them. And like not like a massive water bottle that you have, like your emotional support water bottle, like a plastic one, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, not great. And as they went, the terrain got worse. It became much more steep and treacherous. They had started down this narrow trail and to the left there was a drop off and Tom tripped and tumbled down the drop off very quickly. So Linda yelled after Tom and raced down the drop to get to him, and when she got down there, she found Tom on the ground. He was very dusty and had a few scrapes, but overall, he was okay. Again, he got very lucky. So she helped him up, and they kept going. But the brush only got thicker and harder to get through. They also had to watch where they walked because they knew there was a possibility they could step on a rattlesnake at any time, and that could be the end for them. Linda, unfortunately, got a really nasty scrape on a thorned bush that was low to the ground that cut her calf really deep and, like, in a jagged way. And it hurt really bad, and she was dripping blood. But thankfully, it wasn't a snake bite. But that must have been a really scary moment to, like, feel that sharp scrape thinking about a rattlesnake.
Mm-hmm.
You just think your life is over in a second, you know?
Yeah, and you just didn't even have time to do anything.
Exactly. Yeah, so thankfully it wasn't that. She just got scraped up, but still painful.
It also can't be good that you're also losing blood.
No, yeah, you know? Definitely bad. They also couldn't let that cut slow them down because at that point they were racing the daylight. The light was fading fast and they really wanted to reach the river before nightfall. So 3 hours later, they finally heard the sound they had been waiting for. The river was somewhere nearby. But after fighting through the brush, they saw that this river was not at all what they expected. Instead of a crossing point, the river was raging, and on the other side were very steep cliffs. So crossing the river was very quickly out of the question. Even if the current didn't sweep them up, the cliffs on the other side would be inscalable. Like, you could not cross these cliffs on the other side. So no choice but to turn back.
Well, here's a good thing. They have water.
So it was a devastating realization, but on the bright side, they had some water. So Tom immediately went down to the water to fill their two bottles with it, but Linda wasn't so sure. She did not want to drink the water because she was concerned about Giardia. Giardia is one of the most common causes of waterborne disease in the U.S. The parasites are found in backcountry streams and lakes, but also in public water supplies like swimming pools, whirlpool spas, and wells. Giardia infection can spread through food, animal feces, and person-to-person contact. They usually clear up within a few weeks, but you may have intestinal problems long after the parasites are gone. Several drugs are generally effective against Giardia parasites, but not everyone responds to them, so prevention is the best defense. And symptoms include diarrhea, fatigue, stomach cramps and bloating, gas, nausea, and weight loss. So that would have been very bad, but if they did get it, it was rarely fatal in humans, and it is treatable. But it is highly unpleasant and nasty, and would make their time out there worse. So Linda had made up her mind that she was not going to drink this nasty river water because, in her defense, it looked grody. Like, it wasn't clear, like, babbling brook stream. You know, it was, right, like, brown and not looking great. So Tom drank it because what the hell else are you going to do? And he wanted Linda to, so the two argued about it a little bit, but it didn't matter because Linda refused. She's like, not doing it. Tom was worried about her decision because he knew that could be the difference between life and death. And as dusk fell, the two decided to stop for the night, and they became increasingly worried about Linda's wound on her leg because they knew that Linda's cut could potentially attract animals like wolves and bears since they can smell blood. And they had reason to be scared because there were a lot of footprints around the river, which meant it must have been a place that animals frequented. So if a predator sees that you're weak, it will attack you. So Tom was very glad that he brought this pistol. They decided their best bet was to not stay there for the night and to retrace their steps back to the Jeep, because if they were out in the open in a place that bears and wolves and mountain lions frequent, and they're in their late 60s, it probably wouldn't be a very good combination.
Yeah.
But that did mean another 5 mile hike uphill back to the Jeep. So more than 4 hours later, the couple finally made it back and they were completely exhausted. The Jeep did give them some protection and shelter, but it wasn't very comfortable since it was on its side. They were very tired, but only one person could lay stretched out at a time, so Tom let Linda get some sleep since he felt extremely guilty for getting her into this mess. He was very worried about Linda, and he knew he had to take care of her. Linda did try to assure him that it was going to be okay, but he couldn't help how terrible he felt. By the time the sun came back up, Tom had a plan. They would have to do the 19-mile hike uphill back to the highway. It would be a huge challenge, but if they had any chance of getting out of there, they would have to do it. So as soon as daylight broke, Tom was anxious to get going. He wanted to make as much progress as they could before it got too hot, which was a good move. But Linda told Tom to just wait a minute, and she went around to the other side of the Jeep. And Tom told her whatever she was getting, she should just leave it because they were wasting precious time. But Linda wasn't grabbing anything from the Jeep. She was leaving a note. She wrote a note that said she and Tom were 66 and 68 years old, and they were out of food and water, and she wrote the date, and basically, like, help. So if anyone found the Jeep, they would know that they were out there and look for them. And after that, they started their long trek. By late morning, the temperature was already becoming unbearable. It was back in the high 90s. Linda described it as a thick heat. Which I can just, like, you know, I can feel that. I know what that feels like, and that's not good.
Yeah. Is it also humid?
I don't know if New Mexico's humid. Maybe.
I would imagine not.
it's probably a drier heat than, say, Orlando, but it's yeah. it's still unpleasant.
You know? I'm sure. I'm just saying, you know, I've been in pretty humid 100 degree weather because I golfed 18 holes. And I mean, we were in a cart, you know, it really wasn't that bad. But when she says heavy.
Yeah, like a thick heat.
Thick heat.
Yeah.
That's what I think
of. It does weigh on you.
Yeah.
It's unbearable. It's awful.
Yeah. The air does feel like it's just kind of pushing on you.
Right. Yeah. So that's what they were dealing with. They were exhausted and desperately thirsty, making every step they took really difficult. It was around that time that Linda had finally run out of her little bit of clean drinking water that she had been rationing. Tom still had half of his bottle full of the river water, but Linda still didn't want any of it. When she ran out of her water was when it truly hit her how dangerous the situation had become. Tom again tried to coax her to drink the water he had, and she did take a sip, but after getting a mouthful, she spit the water out. She was able to get her tongue wet, but she really didn't want to swallow it. And that made Tom mad for a few reasons. Mostly because he was worried about Linda and her dehydration, but also because she kind of wasted some of it and they only had what was left in the bottle. As the temperature reached over 100 once again, Tom and Linda were losing fluid at nearly 10 liters of water a day. Isn't that kind of crazy? 10 liters?
I'm trying to think about...
Like, think about a 2-liter bottle.
Of course, like a Coke.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they
five
had...
Five of those.
They only had half a water bottle?
Right. So and Linda's not drinking it.
That's insane. How much water can you lose before you die?
I mean, you only have... In that amount of heat, you really have a limited amount of time.
Yeah.
And like exertion, because that's the thing is that like... If you're walking or like hiking uphill and you're in that kind of extreme heat, like you do, that cuts your time by a lot.
Yeah.
Than like if you were, say, sitting in a cool area and you just didn't have water. So yeah, it's bad for them. As they walked, they came across the carcass of an animal and it was literally only bones. And when they looked up, they saw massive birds circling above them like vultures. And once again, it made their situation very real because they knew that in a very short period of time, if they didn't get out of there, that would be them. Their bodies would be the bird's dinner. So that was very scary. And after 4 hours of hiking, they were even more exhausted. And at that point, Tom knew the two of them were really starting to fade. He only had one more sip of that river water left, and he really wanted Linda to have it because she hadn't drank any water in such a long time, which is, again, so dangerous, especially in that heat. But once again, she refused it, so Tom finished the water bottle. He again blamed himself for where they were because he was the one who wanted to test his Jeep out and really push it. Linda was just along for the ride, and he got really emotional because he was terrified. As they continued walking, Tom realized how weak he had become. But among the brush, he spotted some prickly pear on a cactus, which was great news. They could eat the prickly pear and hopefully get some kind of moisture out of it. And the plant was pretty big, so there was quite a few of them. So Tom started hacking off the cactus and cutting them up to share with Linda. They were so excited to find this prickly pear because it felt like they had gotten some kind of good news. Linda only had a few bites, but Tom couldn't get enough. He ate a bunch of this prickly pear, and at first, the two of them felt fantastic. Like, right after they ate it, it was as if they had gotten a shot of espresso. They had energy again, it lifted their spirits, they were making jokes about it, they had begun walking, and they were even moving quickly. Like, they were laughing about how good they felt. And it does make sense. I mean, think about being deprived of any kind of food or water for, even if it's just 24 or 48 hours in that kind of heat and like exertion, you're going to feel good after you eat something.
Oh, yeah.
But not long after that, Tom got a terrible pain in his stomach and he told Linda he needed to stop. He ran behind a tree and he had major diarrhea and he got really sick from this prickly pear. And afterwards, Linda said Tom seemed broken and even more withered than before. It had taken a lot out of him, and she felt terrible for her husband. He apologized to Linda for being sick, which made her extremely emotional because he didn't have to apologize. They were just in a terrible, really scary situation. And also, diarrhea for dehydration purposes is really bad. Like, that dehydrates you so much more. So, not great. So Linda felt awful for him because it was the most sick she had ever seen him. And they had been married for 32 years. So that's saying something.
Wow.
So too exhausted and dehydrated to move, Tom came up with an idea. He told Linda they had to drink their urine. He knew at that point they couldn't afford to lose any more liquid. It was an extreme measure, but it might just keep them alive. So Tom peed into the bottle and he took a sip. And the taste, as you could guess, was terrible. Yeah. But Tom said after a minute, you can just chug it. Like he had to. Linda also said it was the nastiest thing she's ever tasted, but she also felt like it was one of the only things they could have done to save themselves. So both of them were at that point. I mean, think about how desperate you have to be to do that. They were at that point.
Dude. Yeah. I mean, in any scenario where that's not an option, I'm doing it. Just like even the thought of drinking piss makes me want to puke.
Yeah.
And I feel like I don't get squeamish around most things.
No, but like even because I was watching a documentary and they had like a reenactment of the couple in the wilderness and watching them drink what I knew was not actually piss. But, you know, you're watching it and you know the situation. Like I was like,
yeah,
just a little nasty.
Like, yeah. And I've honestly heard different things about drinking your pee. I have heard people say that it doesn't really make too much of a difference because it's salt. It's kind of like salty.
Right.
I forget what show. Like one of those Survivor shows like Bear Grylls or Survivor Man or I don't remember exactly which one it was, but that's where I heard it from.
Yeah, that does make sense. I did just Google it. I looked up, can drinking your pee actually save you in a survival situation? And it says, despite what you see on TV, pee is even more full of salts and minerals than seawater. And drinking it will suck the life out of you faster than a bayou full of leeches. Okay. the source is... I think
maybe this is...
Yeah, I was like, okay, so the source is backpacker.com. So it seems like it's, you know, for people who are out in the wilderness. But it says it's wastewater, after all, partially meant to carry out urea and other harmful substances from your body. So seems like not a good idea.
Do we have a .org or an .edu? It's hard for me to take. It'll take the moisture out of you faster than leeches in the bayou.
I understand. The best source I can find in this moment is WebMD. So
I feel like WebMD's fine.
It says it's highly unlikely to actually help. Average adult urine contains a significant amount of salt, which gets much more concentrated if you become dehydrated. So it seems like the answer is it's not actually good for you. I mean, yeah, it's never good for you, right? Like it's a desperate situation to be right. Doing that. But it seems like it might just dehydrate you faster because of the salt and mineral content.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it does make sense, but take that with a grain of salt.
Grain of piss.
A grain of piss. Take it with a little grain of piss and yeah, you know, let's move on. So yeah, nasty, right? Like, okay, gross.
Folks, drink your piss.
No, don't do that. As the two of them sat in the shade, they knew that they should have hit the highway by that point. And if they had somehow gotten off course, then they would be hiking deeper into the wilderness, which of course is a really terrible scenario. But that was when Linda spotted up on the side of the mountain, two men that were walking.
Two men? Hello?
Yeah, hello, two men. They weren't that far away. Like, they were probably around shouting distance away. So Tom ran out from the tree that they were sitting under and started screaming and waving his hands, and Linda followed suit. They were screaming that they needed help, that they were dying. Like, they were really trying to get their attention, you know? But the men didn't turn around, so Tom took out his gun and shot up into the air three times to get their attention.
I don't know if they're going to respond accordingly.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to respond in the way you want with three gunshots. But, I mean, he was just trying to get them to, like, turn around at the very least.
Yeah.
But my first thought when I heard him say that was, like, if I heard three gunshots, I would just run.
I'm hitting like, the deck, yeah.
Yeah, I'm hitting the ground and I'm...
Especially that close.
Running away. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if these men saw them and they were just like, not our problem, or if they heard the gunshots and they're like, not for me, like, nope, not gonna mess with that one. You know, it's unclear, but the men continued. They did not stop for Tom and Linda. And that was extremely crushing because they felt like that was their ticket to safety and to living, and it had just walked away. So all they could do was cry. But not even really, because they didn't have enough fluid to produce tears.
That's the saddest cry.
Yes, that is by far the saddest cry. And the only option they had was to push forward. The dehydration had gotten so bad that Tom's mind had begun playing tricks on him. He said it felt like he was drunk. He started to lose orientation, and he could feel that his logic was not as sharp and quick as it had been. They were also weakening very fast. And Linda was even weaker than Tom because she hadn't drank any of the river water. She could barely walk at that point. She would take a few steps, and then she would collapse. When it was close to dusk, Linda told Tom that she couldn't continue any more that day, so they stopped for the night and got some much-needed rest. Which brings us into day 3. They had thankfully survived another night out in the wilderness, but now that it was daytime, they would have to once again deal with the blazing heat, and Linda was in serious trouble. She hadn't drank anything for more than 24 hours, and she was really struggling. She had a walking stick that she had been using, and as the hours passed, she was relying on that stick more and more until she was basically hunched completely over and putting most of her body weight on this walking stick. The problem was Linda had a tremendous amount of pain in her back, and every time she took a step, it got worse. And that was a really bad sign because the back pain was an indication that her kidneys had begun to fail, which is a symptom of severe dehydration. And if they shut down completely, she would die. And Tom was getting very scared for his wife because he's seeing how weak she's getting and how slow she's getting. And he's recognizing that this could be the end. Like, this is really bad. But around that time, he had started to recognize the terrain a little bit. Coming into Saddle Rock, they had driven by this huge ranch, and he was starting to remember parts of their drive. He could see on the map where the hiking trail was, so he was hoping they would come out near that ranch. So he decided they should start heading downhill and just hope that that's the right direction. But Linda was unwell, and finding that ranch could have been her last hope. Not long after that, Tom saw a gorgeous sight, a flash of green amongst the dry brown surroundings. There was a patch of grass. And when he knelt down to feel it, it was even wet, which meant that it had been watered. So if they could just figure out how to get to that water, they would be in much better shape. He saw a few wooden structures underneath a tree, and since Tom is an engineer, he knew that must have been a wellhead, and there had to be some way to get this water. When he ripped off a wooden top to one of these little boxes, he found a pump inside, and he knew it had to be running something, but he just couldn't figure out where the source was. He couldn't find the water. So he took a piece of wood and started beating the pump because he was so angry. He knew he was so close, but it didn't matter, and that was extremely frustrating.
I'm confused. So it's an abandoned well?
It might not have been an abandoned well, but it was like a well that he couldn't access.
Are you talking about the pump where you kind of push it down to get groundwater? The super old ones?
No. So this was like an automated pump. Like it was a, I don't know if it was electrical or it must have been, but it was like into the ground and it was covered by this like wooden box. It was, I think, for the ranch, and it was used to like water, I guess, their cattle and their, you know, grass that they had, but he wasn't able to access wherever this water was. Like all he was able to like open up was this pump. So all he found was this like piece of equipment, and he doesn't know where the water is, and there's nowhere for him to find it. Like it's just this pump in the middle of nowhere.
Ugh.
Yeah. So he was frustrated, to say the very least, because it had been 72 hours since Tom and Linda were first stranded out there, and his wife was getting closer to death by the minute. There was a possibility that that water could have saved her life, but with no sign of the ranch, they had to continue on. Every time Tom looked behind him, Linda was a shocking distance away. She was moving way slower than him. Every step she took was pure agony. The stick was the only thing keeping her upright, but she had gotten to the point where she collapsed once again and she wasn't able to get back up. Tom begged Linda to get back up and keep walking, but she told him that she couldn't do it. So Tom sat down with her and told her that they would just rest for a while. But Linda told him that she really couldn't do it. She told him that she was slowing him down. And Tom didn't want to hear what she was saying because in his mind, there was no way he was going to leave her. But Linda told him they had a wonderful marriage. She loved him. and he had to leave her there. She didn't want them both to die. She kept encouraging him to keep going and to find some water because she couldn't move. And if they wanted any chance of survival, he would have to go on without her. The last thing Tom wanted to do was leave his wife, but he also realized that if he wanted her to live, it would be up to him to find someone. So he hugged her, and then he stood up and started walking away, even though it was one of the most difficult and painful things he's ever had to do. And I will say that this part in my research did make me tear up, because it's extremely painful to think about that scenario.
Yeah, say goodbye to your wife of 32 years that you led out into the desert.
Oof. Not even.
I don't even know how you could.
Yeah, like take the guilt part out of it. Like just having to leave your wife who's like so close to death to hopefully find someone and save her. But like if you don't, that's literally goodbye.
Yeah.
God, that's a terrible thought. Let's not. All Linda could do was lay down and wait, whether it was for Tom to return or for death. She wasn't sure. After a few hours of walking, Linda was far behind Tom, but he had to push on. He knew if he didn't find help soon, he may never see her alive again. But at that point, Tom wasn't all that much better off than Linda. He had only a little bit more water than she had, so he was almost just as dehydrated. And without even realizing it, Tom hit the ground. He passed out. When he regained consciousness, his face and nose were in the sand, and he had no idea how long he had been out for. But when he had finally woken up, it was the next morning, which was day 4 of their ordeal. And Tom could not believe that he had passed out and slept the entire night. He had lost vital hours and had no idea if Linda was even still alive at that point. He was terrified, and he knew he needed to save her, so he got up and he kept going. He could barely walk in a straight line. Again, he felt drunk with dehydration as he staggered through the desert, until finally he collapsed once again. He was still conscious, but barely. His body was finally giving up, and he was losing control of his mind. He felt very close to death, and those thoughts started creeping into his mind. He thought that this would be his last day on Earth. And not only that, but he very well might die right where he was. He dropped to his knees, and he prayed for help for him and for Linda. And just then, he heard the low rumble of a helicopter approaching. Isn't that crazy?
Why do all the stories seem, not all of them, but most of them seem to happen in the nick of time?
Yeah, I know. It's unbelievable. It's also such a crazy coincidence that he was like, hey, please.
Please, God?
Please, God.
No, you ever do that? You're just pleading, like you're on an airplane and it's experiencing turbulence. You're like, okay, if there is a God,
yeah, suddenly okay, you become religious.
I've not been so great. All right. I really need a miracle here. Right. Okay, just get me on the ground. I just need some water. I just need some help right now. I swear next week I'm going to be nice to everyone.
Right.
I'm going to start donating money. I'll start volunteering.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Yeah.
Anything to summon the helicopter.
Yeah, that's not just a you thing. I'm sure a lot of people experience that. I've for sure done that. I'm like, well, I don't know what I believe in, but if there is someone out there, hey guy, help me out with this one.
You know what? Wouldn't it be funny if there is a God and he just recorded the transcripts of all the times that you were like, pleading?
Wait.
And that's what he'll play, like the first thing you do when you get up there.
Yeah.
He'll just be like, hey, remember when you didn't believe? Like we're just going to go through.
Right. Remember in Bruce Almighty when he like sets up that email address for God and it's everyone's prayers and he's hearing them all at once? I just picture that, just like an email box full of people's prayers. And that's 555-0123. Okay. So yeah, crazy coincidence, but helicopter is there in the nick of time. We love that. And Tom couldn't believe it. It flew over his head, and he had a moment of relief until it looked like it flew right by him and was leaving. Then panic set in, so he raised his gun to the sky once again, and he shot off 3 rounds. And then the helicopter flew back over, and at that point, Tom could see a medic in the helicopter who was waving at him. After they landed, they got Tom inside, and he couldn't believe that he was going to live. The search and rescue helicopter had been called by 2 hikers who found Linda's note on the Jeep.
No freaking way.
Oh, yeah. She left the water jug in the freezer, but she redeemed herself with the note.
I guess so.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have never thought to do that.
It's a really good thing to think about. Like, that's a really smart move.
I mean, I might have thought to, like, draw a line, like an arrow in the direction that you went.
That would have been mostly unhelpful. But that's, like,
yeah,
a good effort. I mean, if you didn't have a pen and paper, that's, like, the best you can do. So that's at least something. But the fact that they had a note and she was like, hey, we're 67 and 68 years old. We have no food and water. And we are going to try to hike out of here. Please help. Like, that's huge.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the reason they had a search and rescue at all. Because nobody knew they were out there.
Yeah. Or her sister did, but she didn't know where.
Yeah, she didn't know where. Nobody knew where they were. So her knowing that they went out for a drive is almost entirely useless, you know?
Yeah.
So now that Tom was in the helicopter with these medics, he told them where he had left Linda, but he had no idea if she was still alive. 10 minutes later, they found her, and Tom held his breath. He could see her laying on the ground, but had no idea what to expect. But thankfully, the medic looked out the window and then back at Tom and gave him a thumbs up. Linda was alive, baby. Linda was immediately airlifted to a nearby hospital where her life was saved. But the ordeal left her with serious problems. The dehydration had destroyed most of her intestine, and now she needs an IV drip at all times to keep her alive. But regardless, Linda feels incredibly lucky to still be alive, and she feels like she has a lot more life left in her, and she has a second chance. Tom said, still to this day, he feels guilty, but that's something that he's working on. But he loves her so much and will always take care of her. And I don't have any other information on, like, where they are now, but that's the story of Tom and Linda Bosworth and their insane trek through New Mexico wilderness after their Jeep flipped.
Yeah. I guess this isn't a situation where we would find ourselves.
You don't think it's possible? I think it's in the realm of possibility.
You think that we would go off-road in a Jeep?
Maybe not just the two of us. But if, like, we had friends, let's say, in New Mexico, and they were like, we're going to take the Jeep out and we're going to go have a picnic, like, out on a hiking trail, you don't think we would say yes? We would for sure say yes.
Yeah.
And but then like,
to be like, yeah, I really want to push it. Like, let's go more off-road. I'd be like, no.
My anxiety would probably say, that's scary to me. But then I would...
After
Well, after this story, for sure. But, like, you know, if we're talking about it in the context of, like, we don't know this story... If they were like, oh, it's totally fine. Like, people do this all the time. I'd probably be like, okay, sounds fun. You know, like it's a situation that people could very easily get into.
Yeah.
This is one that I'm like, okay, bring the water jug. You know, like if you have even a fleeting thought that's like, hey, I'm going out in the wilderness. I should bring this big jug of water. Like, just do it. Throw it in the car. Who cares?
Yeah. 100%.
Right? Like.
So she needs a constant IV drip?
Yeah. Yeah, so when she was being interviewed in this, like, documentary that I watched, she had an IV pole and, like, a drip.
So, like, she kind of constantly has, like, a bag, like, you get at the hospital?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, I mean, it kind of, like, destroyed her intestine. It's a good thing that her kidneys didn't completely shut down and, like, when she would go into organ failure, but it did some kind of lasting damage that, like, yes, she does need that at all times, but, you know, it's better than dying out there.
100%. It's just, I don't know what the intestines have to do with that.
You know, not a doctor, but...
WebMD?
WebMD is about as close as I get to being a doctor. Or I guess the fact that my mom is one, so I can ask her. But anyway, yeah. Anything else to say about Tom and Linda?
Yeah, I hope they have a wholesome life, you know, and
I
get
agree.
Left alone.
It sounds like they had a really lovely marriage and, like, love for each other. A lovely love. Because, yeah, they just had nothing but, like, good things to say about each other. And, like, they clearly had such a want for, like, these adventures. And they wanted to, like, go off-roading and have a picnic and have a lovely day out together and just, like, have fun, like, teenagers. And it's just so cute. And that's, I feel like, goals, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I just hope that... they were able to kind of move forward and that Tom was able to kind of let go of some of that guilt.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
Like, yes, it was his want and whatever to go out off-roading even further. And it was his idea. Sure. I understand that part. But, you know, Linda was encouraging him. So it's not entirely on him.
Yeah, and shit happens. You
exactly.
know?
Like, it was 100% an accident. Like, if he drove further out into the wilderness and was like, check this one out, I'm going to try to flip this Jeep, then yeah, all the guilt is on you, Tom. That sucks. But it was like, oops, you know? Like, that's, I feel like, more forgivable than the alternative.
Right.
The purposeful Jeep flip in the middle of nowhere.
True.
Like, then you're just a murderer.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was an honest mistake. He didn't mean to do it. Like, sure, maybe bad call, but, you know, he's just a cute old man who wanted to drive his Jeep, so I'll forgive him.
Yeah. I wonder if they, still off-road.
I don't know. Hope they're doing well. So, yeah. Anyway, why don't we leave that story there, and we'll have a palate cleanser. What's your good thing?
Okay.
Is it golf? Please, for the love of God.
It's golf.
Come on. Guys, give the people something new.
Stop it now. It is new.
It's new?
Just wait.
Okay.
Because golf season is back.
God.
And I could not be more excited.
Can you feel the eye roll through the audio?
Number one. So non-golfers are going to have to stay with me here for a minute.
Okay.
I hit a 70-yard shot that went in the hole.
We love that.
I made an eagle. And
it's actually really cool.
That is, yeah, it's kind of equivalent-ish to a hole-in-one.
Yeah.
I've never done it before, and I probably will never do it again for as long as I live.
Never say never.
You never say never, but, I mean, that's how rare it is.
It's eagle time, baby. You're going to do it again.
It's eagle time. So my good thing is that I, for the first time in my life, made an eagle.
Okay, actually, I take
it back. Three witnesses.
That's true. I was there.
So it is new.
You're right.
And then the next day, I chipped in. So it was just like a great weekend.
Yeah, very good for golf. All right, you know what? You have accomplishments in your golf world right now. It's not just, I'm going to go golfing, which is every other good thing you've ever said.
True. Okay. Damn near. I think, you know, I get one every, 2 months?
Sure, I'll allow it. No, but that's really cool. And you know, it's good. That's very good.
Yeah. So, what's your good thing this week?
My good thing is that I did a pretty sick set of nails the other day.
That you did.
I am on my journey of doing my own nails, you know, press-ons, shaping them myself, gluing them on, painting them with gel polish, all that stuff. This is basically my equivalent of you explaining something golf, but you know, the girly pop side of it. And anyway, I've been doing it for a little while, but I definitely did my best set yet.
Yeah.
They look great.
I agree.
And actually, I got a random compliment on them the other day at the golf. I almost said the golf course. At the coffee shop. At the coffee shop, some lady was like, your nails look really nice. And I said, thank you. They're press-ons and I did them myself. And she said, that's really cool. And I said, thanks, girl. I love moments like that. All you girlies out there know how good that is to get a random compliment from someone out in the wild.
Yeah, I know. It's so funny to me because I can say, like, when you go out, if I tell you that you look awesome 5 times, it's just noise.
I still love it.
You do love it.
Yeah.
But when a server is like,
please.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Where did you get that dress?
Oh, or like when a server is like, oh my God, your eyeliner looks so cool. I'm like, yes, that's what I do it for. For you people out here who tell me that you like that my orange eyeliner matches my orange top. You're that's like, what I do.
Please give me more. Give me the sweet validation.
It feeds my soul. So anyway, that's my good thing. And yeah, that's the episode. Thank you so much for being here. If you would like to check out that bonus episode and vote on stories you want to hear, head over to patreon.com/nottodaypodcast. Get your sick, sweet merch at nottodaypodcast.myshopify.com. If you have a story like Tom and Linda Boswell or not like Tom and Linda Boswell that you want to share with us and possibly hear on an upcoming listener's episode, send it to notodaypodcast@gmail.com. We post pictures over on Instagram of all the stories we talk about at nottoday_podcast. We have a TikTok that is nottodaypodcast and a Twitter that is nottodaypodcast, but the T on the end of podcast is a 3.
Because that makes sense.
And just keep breathing.
Yeah.
Yeah.